you know what? In the big scheme of things, it's pretty simple.
Yep.
We're going to talk a little bit about Donald Sterling as we go on through the show as well. Owners are now weighing in. We are going to hear from, we aren't, but we'll let you know what he says, from Adam Silver. Actually, I don't think he talks until 1 o'clock today, so we won't actually tell you, but we'll recap it tomorrow. But Adam Silver is going to address what the findings of the investigation are and what they are going to do as a league. And you've got
telling you, bro.
Players Association calling for the maximum punishment. You've got ownership. Some people saying he should be forced to sell the team. You've got other people saying, like Mark Cuban, while he's despicable, we can't overstep our bounds too much. So
here's what's going to happen, and I'll give you this in 7 seconds. Indefinite suspension, multi-million dollar fine, and he says he's going to pass over ownership to wife slash daughter, son, cousin, brother,
girlfriend,
sister, girl, who? No.
Safe to say he's not going to give it to her.
Not Vivian Staccago, whatever her name is. That's the process that's going to happen here. He certainly, I hope, is smart enough, whether or not he thinks he's right or he's wrong, to say, I'm going to bow out gracefully, sir. Thank you. Here's my fine money. And keep control of it somehow in the family.
I don't know how graceful it is, but it's going to be a bowing out nonetheless.
He needs to bow.
No question. Take a bow. Don't come back, Don.
Unless.
Maybe Madonna can rewrite that.
If he wants to go out with this stain on him or possibly try to do something to maybe get people to think of his legacy differently,
mm-hmm.
go on Oprah's couch, have a hand in hand with Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson.
That's an option.
And just try to make it work.
Or he could go the other route. He could absolutely say, screw all of you, and own his racist ways and really take it to the next level very public about it.
Which is what he's been doing since 1981.
He's been doing a little bit under the radar. Unfortunately, the radar has not caught up with him, and it's been right there for the taking.
We don't follow that closely. You're right.
If I was a national broadcaster or a national publication guy, I would be very disappointed in myself that I've not pounced on the opportunity that Donald Sterling has presented.
They were talking about that back in 06, I think, Bomani Jones was one of the few who wrote that article. You know what I'm referencing?
Yeah, and I heard him talking about it this morning on Mike and Mike.
Which is pretty interesting. I caught that, what they were talking about. So, but we can go on and on about that. I know Big Jim Harris is on the
Sticky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline.
I always get caught up.
SportingLifeArkansas.com. Hey, Jim.
What's up, Jim?
Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I dozed off there.
Were you mesmerized by our...
Well, we can let you get a nap in if you want to do that.
No. You talk to Jim. I want to get a nap in.
I thought you might find the Donald Sterling talk somewhat interesting. Maybe not.
I'm sorry. It was, my 11 o'clock nap kicking. Hey, you know what? This has been out there, as you just happened to say. He's been sued. He had a federal lawsuit. Several, in fact, I think, or a class action suit. Sterling?
He's had two for
discriminatory practices in his this has all always been out here for years. As you said, Bomani Jones wrote a piece for Page Two in 2006, 8 years ago, that I guess everybody didn't pay a single attention to, but now all of a sudden it's the hot news. It came out at just the right time. You know, you get a little tape of him sounding about as racist as it comes, and all of a sudden it's the top news, top subject. What's out Sterling now? I find that kind of, I'm kind of bothered by it now because it's, everybody suddenly sees, this guy's I don't want to use the term that was used in somebody else's tweet the other day. Who was it? Snoop Dogg or somebody?
That was Instagram. Instagram, in fact.
What did he say?
He said, bleep, 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 the owner of the Clippers.
Well,
bleep,
I think
bleep.
He called him a cracker.
Whoa, Jim!
Cracker. Well, the Atlanta Crackers, that was a baseball team back in the day.
Now, there's some people that are offended by that. I don't happen to be one of them. I think if you get offended by cracker, that's a little silly. Anyway,
where he was coming from here, but it's all out now. And I'm saying this guy's bigoted past has been out there to do something about, to be addressed by, David Stern before Silver. It's kind of like David Stern passes the torch. Now, all the stuff starts coming out that needed to be done under David Stern. And this is a little bit off topic, but it still concerns Stern. It's like with silver now, we're going to hear this, let's change the rule on the, you know, on the one and done. Let's not let these guys come until they're they're two and done. I mean, it's all these things that David Stern could have taken care of, but he just sat there at the, I guess, at the owner's behest and, you know, did his commissioner job.
He said, Jim, I've done enough. Adam, I want to leave some things for you to handle as commissioner right out of the gate.
And as Sterling has been putting millions, billions, whatever, millions, he's a billionaire who can afford to pay these guys their ridiculous salaries. I mean, you look around the league, there was another piece, and I forget who wrote it, it was SB Nation had it out there. I mean, it's like there's, Sterling's not the owner, not the only owner problem. He's the only one, I think, that's in this kind of problem where there's, you know, he's a racist, it appears. But there's a few other owners that the NBA is in partnership with that have enough shadiness about them or enough concern that it's okay as long as these guys are pumping their millions into these teams.
Sure.
And as long as they can keep this, you know, under the table, as you say. I mean, I don't think the NBA ever, you know, pushed it out there to say, look at this. We've got a racist owner down in San Diego who won't rent to blacks and Hispanics. And, you know, they get it.
Yeah.
They
you
want
know,
that out there.
The stuff that got me today was, I heard him talking about it, but Monty Jones was talking about, they had to pay $5 million. He had to pay $5 million just to cover the attorney's fees of the people that sued him for discrimination. $5 million just for the attorney's fees. Can you imagine? The judge said it was the largest settlement he'd ever had of its kind, and they didn't disclose the amount that was paid, but he said it was the largest amount he's ever seen in this type of case before. The guy is a big-time scumbag, and it is a little disappointing we haven't caught on
to it
earlier.
And it was tip money to him. That was nothing.
Yeah, that's what's sad. But anyway,
how is this guy married? He's still married. Explain this one, too. He's a racist, but this girlfriend he's supposed to have is...
She's Mexican and black. Yes, it's very
Mexican
odd.
Mexican and black. But the very two races that he's alleged to have discriminated against in his housing situation, you know, his...
Well, it's not that difficult to put your mind around it when you look at the situation where the people... The three categories he disrespects the most that he's talked about are blacks, Latinos, and women. So in her, he has everybody that he can disrespect as much as possible.
You're the perfect.
I mean, it's sick.
I can bash them all at once. Come.
No, it is. I mean, it's when you think about a guy.
No, you know what's sick is the thought of her having sex
somebody.
With that guy. That's what grosses me out. I'm sorry.
Well,
what is wrong
proof.
With people?
There's no proof of that. She gets him juice, and that's all we know.
She gets him juice. All right. Okay.
But that, when you look at a guy, how twisted he is, to me, he's disrespectful, obviously, to women. He's a womanizer. To think that his woman is somebody that is half black, half Mexican, I'm not surprised because the guy is that's his MO. That's what he does. He likes to demean people, and in her, he can do that. It's unfortunate.
He apparently has no respect, really, for anyone. I would think that he's a total.
Yes, Delta Bravo. He thinks he's better than everybody else in the whole wide world, except for fellow billionaire Jewish people. I think, as long as they're white Jews, because black Jews are not as good as white Jews, according to him.
They don't treat them the same in Israel.
He's quite the idiot. Anyway, let's move on to something even more controversial. The starting quarterback position at the University of Arkansas, Jim. The spring game did not do a lot to assuage anyone's fears about the passing game this coming fall. How much, what percentage do you put on play calling, receiver issues, and quarterback play as far as the overall passing game problems?
Well, first of all, let me say that I wish there was a way they could play the spring game two more times, exactly like they did, except to let Austin Allen quarterback the red for an entire game, and then let Peavy quarterback for an entire game. And see how they look with the starters.
That would be ideal. You're right.
Oh,
I agree. We would all like to see that. Yeah.
Had a bad connection.
No, we'd all like to see that.
I would like to see how they would each perform. Because to judge how Austin Allen or Ray Peavy performed with their offensive line and their one running back who's fourth string and their receivers compared to what, you know, Brandon Allen got to perform with, is, I mean, how do you make a judgment and say that Brandon Allen is 100% head and shoulders ahead of everybody else, and then he comes out and has that kind of game? He performed poorly. You, at some point, we've got to, and I'll make some diehard Razorback fan or 10 listening now all upset by what I'm going to say, but let's quit talking about the shoulder separation as having anything to do with either one of those interceptions he threw the other day. Forced passes into double coverage, you know, thrown where a receiver can't catch it, I don't think it is a problem with his, you know, getting over his separated shoulder.
Yeah,
I think his decision making is lacking. We now hear from Bielema after the game that it's obvious that his, I'm trying to get that quote right, I said it, it's obvious that his, that he's not comfortable, he's not suited for a drop back passing scheme, he's not a drop back passer, he's better when they can get him on the bootleg and the rollout and get out there. Well, then who's calling those plays that put him in a drop back passing situation, or did we only learn that with the spring game? I don't feel like they just suddenly had that discovery, but who's putting him in a situation where he's dropping back and throwing the ball and can't throw it and completes 5 of his first 12 or whatever it was? I'm concerned. Yeah, I came away concerned about the plays as vanilla as they were, the plays he was given. You got an experienced receiver who missed a few balls. That was one of the key things I was telling people to look for in my column last Friday. So you got one of your veteran returning receivers not quite focused. You still have a lot of question marks with the line. A lot of question marks. I think some may not be answered into the season with this line. I don't think it's as talented as people want to believe it is, and I think they're still trying to build it there. And I just didn't hear a lot. I didn't come away thinking that it was a positive experience for the offense. I did think it was great for Dietrich Wise. I think he must have had a huge mismatch in front of him because he dominated. Apparently, Darius Spylon also had a really good game at tackle. You got to feel good about that side of the defense. And then knowing that Trey Flowers wasn't there and plays the opposite end, there's 3 of your 4 starters that you got to feel good about in your defensive front. You got to expect Brooks Ellis sounds like he's grown up a little more, you know, might end up being a pretty stout linebacker. He had some good safety play from this kid they were talking about all off season, and you know, who redshirted last year, DeAndre Coley. Still got a cornerback who bit and got beat deep late in the first half. That's a starting cornerback that he was the one that was beaten against LSU, although people also want to say he's supposed to have safety help in that game.
Mm-hmm.
That's a concern there. Although I hope I covered the entire thing right there.
I think you did very well. And we also had a handful of kickers. Actually, the red kickers were perfect. The kid that kicked for the white missed 3 out of 5, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. But
or did I have that backwards?
But the kicker
out of 3
is still in high school right now and will be there. Cole Hedlund is going to be the kicker unless he completely bombs when he arrives, and I don't see how he will. His father, soccer coach at North Texas, kid's grown up, you know, is a really outstanding kicker. He was a Parade All America, if I'm not mistaken. He was certainly regarded highly among any, you know, some of the all the recruits they had in their class. kicker, kind of like Hawker ended up being for the last 4 years. So I'm not worried about kicker. I'm not worried about punter. I'm not worried about deep snapper. They've got one of the best ones around. We'll see about kick coverage and all that kind of stuff when fall gets around. But, yeah, it all goes back to that quarterback position, and I don't feel good about it. I hope Brandon Allen can surprise us all and you know, and take the reins, but I think he's got a lot of limitations, and I don't know what makes you change your decision making other than experience, I guess. I mean, you know, you stick your hand in the wall socket enough times, you know, you stop putting, you know, as a little baby, or you stick your fingers at the wall socket. You get shocked. You stop putting your fingers in the wall socket. So,
I could never get my finger on a wall
you've
socket.
You always had chubby fingers.
I know.
Yeah. You did get underneath the bowl of
yourself when you came close to the socket at all.
I actually chewed on a electrical cord one time. I got shocked. That was the only time I ever did that.
You?
Yeah, it sucked.
Well, you only chew on them so many times.
That's it.
Before you get trained, and I don't know if we need a shock collar on our quarterbacks now or not. But
yeah, Jim, chewing electrical cords is a lot like heroin. You either stop doing it or you die. You only have two options there. So,
you know, shock collars work for Labrador Retrievers. I wonder if the coaches could put a shock collar. I wonder if Mike
Take
Leach,
it easy there, Michael Vick. We don't roll
Mike
like that.
Mike Leach might put a shock collar on his quarterbacks. And, you know, if you make a bad decision, he just hits the button and you get a little jolt.
Shock collar while standing in the shed because you've been naughty. Okay, quickly raise
two Andersons in the SEC, two Kennedys and two Andersons.
I know it.
Schools that are furthest west in the SEC, I guess.
Missouri didn't care. They wanted any Coach Anderson will do. They said
that's
so,
right.
Whoever
they
we can get,
a Coach Anderson.
Yes, Donald Sterling's a big fan of the hire at Missouri, though, of course, because he's the right race. So he's thrilled about that. Razorback baseball tonight on the road at Missouri State up in Springfield. Oddly enough, the Bears will be traveling to play UALR tomorrow, so they're going to get a whole lot of Arkansas flavor this week. UALR, by the way, hosting Grambling State tonight at Gary Hogan Field. Hog baseball, disappointing weekend last week. Jim, we only got about a minute left here, but let's wrap up a little baseball talk. Missouri State tonight and then trying to right the ship on the road this weekend against Ole Miss.
Well, the Auburn game, you didn't figure Auburn would beat Arkansas badly in Game 3. I guess that was the biggest surprise. Game 1 could have gone either way. It really surprised me that, I mean, here's the deal. If they get two on and nobody out, it doesn't matter who's coming up to bat. If it's the cleanup hitter, they're bunting on the third and second. And that's just a Dave Van Horn thing. It didn't get the runs in. They came up one run short Friday night. And I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like watching Cardinal baseball now. Neither Arkansas nor St. Louis can score much, it appears.
Well, as I say, if Arkansas didn't get it going pretty soon, it's going to be more like watching Cub baseball in last place in their division. So.
Well, no, they're only going to take eight teams, right? To
How about 10?
Well, they're taking 10. Well, I know they're not taking all of them.
That's true.
And if you don't finish I think last year it was 10. I think there were couple of, yeah, early.
10's the magic number in the SEC, Jim. You know that 10 players on first team for basketball?
Yeah, and they're
and
all guards.
10 teams in the SEC.
They're all forwards, one or the other.
Pat loves the fact that there are 10 guys in the SEC first
well,
team
I just,
all SEC basketball.
Well,
somebody has got to come through. I talked all good about their trading hitting for fielding at shortstop, and darn if that shortstop kid didn't make two critical errors on Friday in one inning that cost them two runs. And again, the pitcher, 2-7, what's his name again? Trey Killian.
Trey Killian, hardest luck pitcher
the
in America.
2-7 pitcher in college basketball.
Next week we'll be saying the best 2-8 pitcher in the nation.
Hmm.
He goes eight innings with no earned runs.
No earned runs.
He loses. I mean,
he
poor
loses.
Guy.
And, I mean,
he should change his name to Cliff Lee.
You know, an Arkansas can't win for losing. They sacrifice a bat by getting what they think is a solid fielder, and the kid makes two errors in the crucial game-changing inning. I mean, they're snake bit one way or the other. They had a great hitter playing shortstop last year who made an error it seemed like he averaged an error a game almost. It wasn't that bad, but it was not good. South Carolina did the same thing, though. They had a shortstop last year that led the SEC in errors, but, you know, they still won.
Position. That's a hard position. What are you going
to
do?
Yeah, I guess it's a hard position, but you know what? I can go out here to the American Legion fields and find a shortstop that's not going to make an error. Maybe I can. I don't know. I just feel simple play. The errors they're making are on routine plays, like the throw from short to second, ending up in the outfield, and then a routine grounder. That's what killed them Friday night. But you know what? With the red-white game up there, sensational crowds for baseball. But your big question and something you ought to address at some point, and we can talk about it next week, and Arkansas wasn't the only one, but they expected 50,000 for football, and I guess they generously said there was 30,000 on a beautiful day. That's a big difference, and since 10,000 drop or more from last year. I think Alabama had 10,000 or more less than they used to have. I think all these spring games were not as well attended as they have been around the SEC, except for Tennessee's. Tennessee had 68,000. But Arkansas had 30,000 when they expect 50. And I'm not sure if they didn't have 50 all around that place, but not everybody wanted to go watch that football game.
That's a question. War Memorial North.
That's a problem.
There you go. All right, Jim, we appreciate the time. We will catch up on some of that other stuff next week.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy. SportingLiveArkansas.com. Check out Jim's work. Let me get Wayne.